Mr. Douglas Reel 17. You mentioned before about the Italian guards leaving the camp.
Yes, yes.
Can you remember when that was?
It would be, I can't remember exactly, but I would think it would be, I don't know, maybe August or so, in 1943. But the rear, back end of the summer, I couldn't make it exactly when, but the thing was that the guards just suddenly vanished. Of course, we knew that, that our lads was coming up. You know, we were at Ancona, which is the top end of Italy, you know, and we knew that we were advancing, that just a question of time till I got there. So we weren't surprised when the guards all vanished. I said, well, that's, and a lot of the lads went out of the camp, and a lot of them got killed, actually, you know. I went and seen Sonny Morton, and I said, look, best plan is to go. You could see the mountains from the camp. I said, well, go to those mountains and hole up somewhere until our lads get here. And so I said, I'll tell you what, we'll get some stuff. So I said, I want a hot water bottle and some food. So I went round to the guards, where the guards' quarters were, you know. And I got a water bottle and I had a sack and I got some bread that was lying about and that. And packed up, and I said, well, the first thing in the morning I'll be off. I says, I'll call for him. Incidentally, if what happened hadn't happened, he wouldn't have been there, because he went and he never came back. But that night I heard the sound of machine gun fire about 12 o'clock. It was dark, and the Germans had arrived, surrounded the camp, and took over. So we didn't get out. It's too late. If I'd went that day, but it was no use going empty-handed. Just some of the lads went, and they got on a train. They were away about maybe half an hour, 20, and they came back. Came back on the train. Apparently, where they'd went, it was some Germans and that. But I think a lot of the lads, because we were in uniform, we had a big red patch on the back, sort of, you know. But we were in British uniform, of course. And I think that a column of Germans must have seen the lads on the road, just opened up, because they wouldn't know, maybe, that they were prisoners of war. And it loose, they just, I think, that must have bust. I don't know, but I think that must have been what happened.
What happened when the Germans took over?
Well, they smartly rounded it all up, and within 2 or 3 days we're off. Because our lads were close, you know. We knew that through the news, Nathan. And they moved us from there up into Germany. We put us on a train. We were on the train for a long time, 2 or 3 days.
What do you remember of that journey? What were conditions like on the train?
Well, they weren't too bad. We're hungry, thirsty. They stopped. They must have went somewhere through the Alps, the Brenner, because eventually we ended up at. Oh dear me, that's the name. A big place in Germany. But they stop on a station and give us bread, a loaf between in about eight, you know, and that give us a drink of water. And eventually we ended up in Germany. In a place, it's a big town, but it was a terrible camp. It was dirty. The guards were very, very violent there. They had dogs, and if you play out for the counter, and if you didn't, if you weren't out, they just set the dogs, and they were vicious, I'll say, just worried to death. plural lads could worried do that.
Can you describe the camp that you went to?
I'm not sure where it was or anything, that particular camp. We were there for a while, a few days, while they were sorting things out, because they see that they'd been bringing prisoners from all over, getting them back into Germany, away from the, and things were a bit chaotic, like, you know, as far as they were concerned as well, I suppose, because I at that particular time, I was in very despondent, right in the bottom. Weather was bad, hungry, and I was sick, and cause I remember I said, I want to step over that way. Step the other way, of course, he was shot immediately. And I remember the man, Sergeant Allen, he says, "You're not, son, you're not." I says, I've had enough, I'm sick. I said, "I might as well finish your lot." And he hung onto my legs and he wouldn't let go. And he hadn't much strength. And he was lying, the mud was 2 or 3 inches deep. And he wouldn't let, and I struck him, I hadn't the strength, you know. We've been so weak and that. Anyway, it got passed over, and the next couple of days, the ship that was off onto a train, another train, and off we went. And we landed in a place called Kaiser Steinbruck. It was a camp there. We should never ever have been sent there, of course. It was really a camp for Russians. And we got there, and that's one thing I was grateful to the Germans for at that camp. They got rid of our lice. Went in, got a strip off, had to fasten your clothes in a bundle, and I thought, God, they're going to gas her. But it was to kill the lice on the clothes, put them in like big gas ovens, and all the hair off, all the hair off your private parts, everywhere. Put this stuff on and you got into the showers, a good wash, and they got rid of the lice. But the camp itself was a very, very primitive sort of place, and it was Russians, there were Russians there, and I saw things there that really, they were terrible, the way they treat the Russians. We weren't too bad, because we were in a separate compound lake. But all the guards there had family either killed in air raids, Russian air raids, or had family killed on the Russian front. And they hated the Russians. They must have been specially chosen. They were oldish fellas, you know, in the middle 40s, 50s. And we saw incidents, because they were kept separate from us, and the first thing they did, they asked for dolmetsch. You said dolmetsch, and I hadn't a clue that nobody, but apparently it means interpreter, and none of us spoke German, so and they took all our blowers off. Well, you know, I remember telling you about these little blower things for blowing up. They thought they were some sort of a fifth column device, and the first thing took all them off were, well, that was a great brought home morale and everything, because it took all that off us. But we got over it.
These were things you'd made in the Italian camp, weren't they?
Yes.
Tea.
We got over it by hooking, because there was, see, we were all NCOs, and there was all from all sorts of life. So they made a thing, two tins, bit of wood and three put so that they were separated, bigger tin, the little tin side, and hook electric wire from one. They had wires into, for the lights in the thing, and there's to hook onto one way, and in no time boiled the water.
A sort of primitive electric kettle.
Yeah, and we once or twice blew the fuses, too many blown up at once, sort of thing. And we had one death in that camp, one lad, and he couldn't feel pain. I don't know, there's something wrong with him. It was a little thick, so I don't know where he was from, or anything, but he couldn't feel pain. and he was in this hut, and they had like round stoves, tallish round stoves, but both burn, and the wall used to get hot, like, because it was cold there. And he was standing, he put his hand on the stove and talking, and he didn't realise, and started saying, get up. And it was burning me. Oh, his hand was, he died. Because, remember, we weren't fit and healthy then. We were well on the bottom. We'd been, you know, I was just
going to ask you what sort of condition you were in when you arrived at the camp. What sort of physical...
Well, we hadn't had much food. As I say, we'd been in transit and hadn't had very little food. We'd lost weight. It hadn't been all that good in Italy, even. You know, we were underweight, but we had for all that transport and in that period when we were coming from Italy to into Germany, that... We got, you know, about 3 weeks or so where it took. We had very little food. And it knocks your resistance, you know, down. And I seen in that camp where there was a Russian and there was little windows. It was like three floors in it, like a barn sort of building. And there was, you just had beds, you know, you laid next to each other. Didn't have any space. You were just next to each other. Each man had maybe 2 foot, and that was it. We didn't have any blankets. And just what we'd brought from Italy, we weren't issued with anything. And as I said, there was this little window. I was looking out, and there was a Russian, and he looked and he made signs. And I hadn't much, but I thought, poor fella, you know. And I threw him a bit of a crust, and a guard saw it, and there was two of them, beat him to death, and I couldn't. I watched. They hammered him with the rifles until he was dead. They must have hated the Russians. They used to become for soup, and a man would be dead, and two of them would get a hold of him, you know, each side of him, and he was just trailing, but they were all fairly weak, and didn't know whether he was alive or not, but then he'd start to smell of something, and the Russians would twig he was dead, and then the two was kind of got a damn good hiding. There was every day. This cart came in, and there was anywhere up to 12 Russians thrown on it. And through that lad dying, I saw. We had a proper military funeral. Of course, we went, gave him a proper military funeral, marched, and everything. But where he was buried, near the village, and I remember it called Kaiser Steinbruch. They had a great big trench, about 50 of them, near the end of the street long, and it was full of dead Russians. And they just used to throw some, but every day there was anywhere a dozen to 10, 15. And when a train came in from the Russian front, most of them on it were dead, some of them partly eaten. The Russians had God knows I've been there long, I've been on that train, come from the Russian front. And there was always at least half of them was cleared out.
Dead. Did you see these trains when they came in?
It's terrible, but I saw that. And my heart went dead, there was Prussians. But the Germans thought they were animals. They didn't, never threatened us humans at all. We were badly off, we'd got little. But they got even less than us. They just to get a bit of soup, or I could say, and I don't know, we got a loaf between 8, they maybe got a loaf between 12, if they got that. They just wanted them dead, I think, you know. It's terrible. They used to have working parties go out, there again was in a quarry at Kaisersteinbruck. There was a quarry near the, it's a small town. I think it means town on a stream, something like that. I think the interpretation was. But the people knew what was going on. They knew the people living in that place. So then they're telling me that the Germans didn't, they knew what was going on, but maybe they couldn't do much about it. But that's where the Gestapo came there, to that camp. And one of them lost his gloves, didn't he? And they lined us up and they threatened to shoot. He said he would, they would have done. And Chalky White said, look, lad, he says, this is serious. He said, I'm not joking. Them gloves have got to be found. He says, or somebody's going to die here. So, of course, the gloves turned up and he got his gloves. And then shortly after that, there was somebody high up, because they had red epaulets and red hats, you know, and all this in signature. They must have been high up, and we should never have been sent there. Never, ever. We should never, the British, to be out. And that, sure enough, the next day we were moved out and into and that's when I went to Stalag 383. Sergeants, right, of course, were all separated from, because in Italy there was a mixture, but in Germany they had proper camps for NCOs. You couldn't make you work. They can force an ordinary private to work, make them work, but they can't make an NCO work unless he volunteers. And I would never know where would I ever volunteer to work for them. No matter how, I would have died first.
How long were you in this camp at Kaisersteinbruck?
Perhaps a month at the most, if it was that, you know. About maybe 3 weeks. It's difficult to, you know, keep track of time when time drags you. Sometimes you think it's longer than, and sometimes you think it's shorter. But I would say, it's a rough guess, about 3 weeks at the most.
How was the camp laid out? You say there was a Russian half.
Well, there was one part where we couldn't had any contact with, you know, but there was a compound next to ours where we were, and the Russians were there. They were in sort of huts. We had a building. But I think they must have moved Russians maybe out of that building to get us in, you see, because the whole thing was with all these prisoners being brought back into Germany you know, they had to find somewhere to put them. But we should never ever have went to that camp for Russians.
Do you have any idea of how many Russians were in the camp?
Oh, there'd be... You couldn't, because there used to be train roads coming in nearly every day. There was train road, Russians came in, and as I say, they weren't in long till they died, or they were killed, or beaten to death, or something like that. And the clear cart used to come in every day, sometimes twice a day, and they used to throw them on, like a water cart. Just with the sides, you know, no top on a steel thing, and then they just pile them on there. Maybe 20 used to go out, told maybe 20, and so he's in twice a day. It never failed that cart used to come in. We could say that from our compound, but there was another part, the other side, where we couldn't say what went off there, I have no idea. But I suppose it would be just as bad, just the same. But where the train used to come in, that's where there was showers, and they went into the showers, like, you know, as well, to be deloused, and half of them never come through it. They were in such state. But
so they were in such a poor condition.
They might have been on that
arrived.
Train for weeks.
They were in poor condition when they arrived.
Oh, absolutely. I could hardly walk. And there was a. Maybe 100, 120, 130, between 100 and 200 nucleus sort of thing, which was added to and well, the time we were there, what I could see like that, but there was an awful lot of Russians died there. And I think, I think the guards have been specially chosen because to hate them. Because the nearly all the guards, somebody's told me that the guards had their family either bombed, lost family, wives, family, or had sons killed on the Russian front.
These guards, you mentioned their age before being about 40 to 50, so they obviously weren't middle-aged troops, were they not?
Oh no, they were middle-aged men, because they weren't older for prison guards, you know, the past combat age sort of thing, you know what I mean? Most of the guards were like that, like.
Were your guards and the Russian guards separate, or did you have the same guards?
Same guards.
And there was definitely a they treat you differently to the Russians.
Oh yes, we were.
How did they treat you?
Well, they were treat me all right. I mean, treat us all right.
And the rest of the Allied.
We got our soup and our potatoes, and but there was no Red Cross, of course. You understand? There was no Red Cross. It was a Russian. It was a subsidiary of Dachau, a subsidiary camp from Dachau. And from there, the really fit Russians would be sent to Dachau. Well, it was a terrible place, awful.
What was the food like?
It was just German bread. Got your bread ration, one loaf between so many, and ate right where it was, and a few potatoes and soup once a day. That's what you got.
How was it prepared?
Well, they must have had some sort of cooking facility somewhere. It was used to bring it in a big pot thing, you know. And that was the place where the Germans dished the food out, strange enough. In the other camps where I'd been, they gave the food and you had to dish it out yourself, you know, the seat of it. But there, in that camp, the Germans gave the food out. Because that would be, of course, they wished to give it to the Russians and just carry on the same sort of system, I suppose, give it to us. But because we had food with us, a certain amount of Red Cross food we'd saved up, you know, from Italy, hoarded and wouldn't break into it, trying to keep it for real emergencies before you're nearly going to die, food, hunger. A little bit of tea. Most of us had a bit of tea. We should get a brew up. And a little bit of sugar, maybe. No milk, like, you know. Maybe have a little bit of dried milk if you odd ones. And we shared, like, and it was a bad period, but we got through it. And then, of course,
how much did you get to eat a day? How much did you get to eat a day?
To eat?
Yes, typical day.
We would get a loaf between I think it was six in that car. A loaf between six. And we got potatoes. A couple of potatoes. And soup.
What about water? How was that brought into the camp?
There was a tap. A tap and a trough, like a trough place at the end of the this like barn. It was like a barn place, and we were NCOs. You see, we'd been picked from Italy when they came to separate and went to this other camp. Oh, what was the name of the place? And that's where we were separated out, and we were NCOs, we were all NCOs. And we did get a contingent in just before we left there of men, prisoners. I don't know where they came. They'd been working somewhere in Germany or Italy. And because I remember one of the lads, he had his pockets full of corn. He had his pockets full of corn. Stuffed. And they'd been working on farms somewhere in Italy, I think, and they somehow they'd got there, but there wasn't many, and but a half a dozen, I think. But they would probably, I don't know, they're left with it, but where they went, I don't know. But of course, we were NCOs, and as I say, we shouldn't have been there. That was obvious when these big, high ranking colonels and staff came. You knew there was, another atmosphere. Get them out quick, because we've seen too much.
How many of you were there? Was it just?
Oh, there was about 300 of us. More, there'll be more. Let's see, maybe 500 of us. But I don't know, 300 to 500 anyway. There was quite a few of us. I know there wasn't much room in that building. It was just like a barn thing, and there was three layers of the top you lay on the floor, and there was the bottom, like little raised bunks on the bottom floor. I remember, because you used to have to go upstairs to brew up, hook onto the electric wires, you know.
So what was your daily routine like in that camp? What did you do during the
nothing,
day?
Nothing, there was no... I just used to waking up in the morning and just walk, but it wasn't far to walk. There wasn't much to walk. Not much, just to walk around the building, sort of thing. And you could see the, just to stand and watch them Russians, but they weren't allowed to come near where we were.
There was no contact between.
Oh no contact. Whatever. It must have been told, because their leader, he was a very flamboyant sort of, I don't know, but I think he was a doctor, but he used to wear his coat like a cape, and he used to march them for the, when they got their food, you know. He obviously got more than the others, because he wasn't in the same state as them.
Is this a Russian chap?
This Russian officer. He was an—I think he was an officer of some sort. He had an officer's cap on, and he has got epaulets, and I don't know what his rank, but I think he must have been sort of a medical officer or something. I'm not sure. I wouldn't know for sure, like. But he was the one who used to run that compound where they were. He was the only one who seemed to have any authority there. And he must have got extra food for it, like, you know, because he wasn't as weak as the others. He, you know, he's more very flamboyant sort of fella. He marched up and that queer sort of style. But the others, the poor things, they were a terrible camp. I was glad to get away from that place.
Were you able to keep yourselves clean in that camp?
Well, we could wash. There was a trough in a tap, and we could wash. But it was cold. It was ever so cold. It must have been. It must have been more. I don't know whether it was the area or what, but it was very cold there. To me, maybe it's just coming from Italy, maybe. But it was ever so cold. Everybody was complaining of the cold. You couldn't keep warm, you know.
How did you pass your time?
Well, as I say, there was nothing to do. We didn't even have space inside the barn place for a. We'd stand in groups, but there wasn't any space to we'd talk and. Discuss things, but as I say, we were in a state where everything we'd had a kind of ordered existence, you know, ordered existence in Italy with got into a routine one thing, and then suddenly we'd been uprooted, moved, and then taken to this place where there was no facilities. You know, you were at a loss. You were upside down a bit, and seeing them Russians, the way they were treated, and when that lad died, we went to his funeral, like, and I saw that great big trench with them, hundreds of Russians, hundreds of Russians. I sometimes wonder whether that was ever came to light, you know. I sometimes wondered whether they ever found out about that place, you know. Kaiser Steinbrück.